الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أكل طيبا وعمل في سنة وأمن الناس بوائقه دخل الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, the hadith which I recited in the khutbah is narrated from Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things, and he said the person who can practice on these three things, then he will be a jannati, he will enter jannat. The first was man akala tayyiba, that person who eats food that is pure, wholesome, halal. The second aspect was wa amila fi sunnah, and he practices on the sunnah, his life revolves around the sunnah. And the third thing was wa amina an-nasu bawa'iqa, people are safe from his harm, from any takleef that he causes. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for this person is the glad tidings, dakhal al jannah, that he will enter jannat. We can never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficiently for this favor that over 1400 years has passed, but we are still blessed with the prophetic traditions. We still got the mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These words need to be written in gold. These words need to be framed and hung up in our offices and our homes, where we constantly look at it and ponder over it and see how we can bring it within our lives, because this is what will bring a revolution in our lives. This is what will bring the change. This is what will draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will bring the rahmat and mercy of Allah within our homes. These are the words which the children need to memorize. Rather than them memorizing nursery rhymes, they rather memorize the hadith and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because every word is filled with nur and barakah and guidance and direction. So if you analyze this hadith, the first aspect that is mentioned here, man akala tayyiba, who eats pure, halal, wholesome food. When the Quran Sharif speaks about what we should consume, then it says halal and tayyiba. It needs to be halal and it needs to be wholesome. Some people only understand the aspect of halal, but the food may not be wholesome. It may be something that is harmful for you, something that is detrimental for your health. It doesn't have any nutrition within it. So you need to look for both these qualities. It must be halal, it must be wholesome. Something doesn't just become halal by writing halal on it. This is where a lot of people make a mistake. They just have to see a halal sign, or it's written halal, and they think to themselves it's halal. Once I was traveling one of the airlines, and a brother came to me and he asked me, that are the meals halal? I said, I don't know. I have no knowledge of it, but rather be safe and just have the fruit or the vegetables. So after a few minutes, he comes back to me with the menu card, and he shows me at the bottom, it's written there, all meals are strictly halal. So he saw that, but what the poor person failed to realize, on the same menu card is alcohol as well. So the same menu card, they're serving alcohol, and then they're contradicting what they're saying at the bottom by saying all meals are completely halal. So we need to be wary of this. When we are eating something, remember, this is going in our system. This we are feeding to our children. You are what you eat. What you're going to eat is the actions you're going to do. That is why in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the prophets, Ya ayyuha rusul, O prophets, kulu min at-tayyibat, you eat that which is pure and wholesome, wa'malu salihah, and do good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first spoke about eating wholesome food, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, now you do good deeds. Because only if you eat pure, wholesome food, will you get the tawfiq to do good deeds. Or will you get that quality in the good deeds, the quality that you want, that feeling that you want, that motivation and that spirit that you want. When you will eat halal, pure, wholesome food, that's when your good deeds also will come in order. So we need to be so particular when it comes to what we eat. Then also, what wealth we utilize to purchase that. That will also determine whether that food is pure and halal or it's not pure, it's not wholesome. The wealth a person uses, how particular a person needs to be when he is conducting his business, that he's not doing anything of a doubtful nature. He's honest, he's trustworthy, he's not speaking lies. Because if he is speaking lies, he's not trustworthy, he's not honest, he's deceiving people, he's going to lose the barakah, he's going to lose the blessings. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he had a partner. He would send some goods out with him to sell at times. One day he was sending a consignment of goods. In that one garment had a defect. So he told his partner, make sure when you're selling these goods, you tell the purchaser that this one particular garment has got a defect. Anyway, the partner went, sold the goods, came back with 30,000 dirhams. Huge profit, 30,000 silver coins. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi first asked him, the brother, tell me, did you notify the purchaser about that defect? He said, no, I forgot about it. So first of all, what he did was, he had broken off that relationship and broken off that partnership, and he dismissed that person. He said, I cannot work with you. If you are forgetting such important things, you forgot to inform that man, I can't work with you. Then he takes the whole 30,000 dirhams and he gives it in sadaqah. Whole 30,000. I don't want this money. I don't want to take it home. I don't want to taint my income. I don't want to feed this to my children. The whole 30,000 dirhams given out in sadaqah. Ibn Abi Layla rahmatullah alayhi, also a similar incident happened to him. And there was a slight doubt. Even the muftis would give the fatwa that it's not haram. But because of a slight doubt, 40,000 dirhams he gave out in sadaqah. So this is, we find the pious people of the past, they were so particular when it came to these things. One Buzurg mentioned, he said there was a time and an era when someone went to the marketplace and he asked you, who should I deal with? So you could tell him you could deal with anyone and everyone. This whole marketplace, every person is trustworthy, every person is reliable. That was the golden era of Islam. Then he said that then an era came where if a person asked you, who should I deal with, then you would tell him that, see, for the exception of few people, there's a few negative elements here in the marketplace, you can deal with everyone else. Then he said, then the era came where when the person asked you, who should he deal with, then you had to tell him that, see, there's only few people in this whole marketplace that you can deal with. The rest of them, you have to stay away because they're not honest. And then the Buzurg said, Allah knows how long ago he would have said this. He said, I fear that a time may come when you will have to tell the person, there's no one you can deal with because there's no honesty left anymore. There's no amanat. So this is all going to affect our income, and that's going to affect the food that we purchase, and that is going to have a negative impact on our families and on our children. And when there's halal food, when it's wholesome, it's pure, then there's noor in that food. Then there's barakat in that food. Then the person who eats that food, he feels motivated to do good. He just feels a drive to do good because he's eating something that is halal, something that is wholesome. There's a famous incident. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a student of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. Once he came to visit Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was the guest of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. So Imam Shafi told his family, you are a very great person coming to visit us. Make sure you'll take good care of him and you'll prepare good meals, etc. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi came, he stayed the night. The next morning, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi's daughter, she tells him, you told us this person is a very pious person, but I've got three objections against him. The three doubts in my mind. So what doubts you have against him? But first of all, this person ate a lot of food, although they never gave food with that intention and see how much people eat. But because you said he's a very pious people don't eat a lot. They'll eat a certain amount. They'll fill one third of their stomachs. But this person seemed to eat quite a bit of food. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing is that I left a musalla there in his room for him to read the Tahajjud. He didn't read the Tahajjud. Tahajjud was such an important thing in those days and times. You get some saints, some buzugayadi in their whole life, they never miss one Tahajjud. So he didn't read the Tahajjud. The third thing, the most serious of all, is I left water there for him to make wudu. So he didn't make wudu Fajr time. He just went and read Fajr namaz. So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi said that, let me ask Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the right thing is, don't formulate an opinion in your mind about someone. Go and inquire, go and find out. So he asked Imam Ahmad bin, so he said, yes, I did eat a lot of food. What she's saying is right. When I saw that food, I saw that noor and barakat in that food. I said, where will I get food like this again? These pious people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that vision. They could see certain things. So I thought, let me eat as much as I can eat now, because this food with this barakat, with this noor, I'm not going to get another opportunity. Where am I going to go in the dunya to get this type of food? This is from your house. Then the effect of that food was that I just went to lie down in the bed and oceans of knowledge opening up to me. I'm just solving one masla, I'm solving another masla. These were great imams, you know, they were mujtahids. They did the hard work, that's why we follow them now. We follow Imam Wanifa, we follow Imam Shafi, we follow Imam Malik, we follow Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So I was just solving maslas, oceans and oceans of knowledge through the barakat of that food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just opening up different things to me. And then when tahajjud time came, I thought to myself that if I read tahajjud, the benefit of the tahajjud will only be confined to me. But this masail that I'm solving in my mind and all this different knowledge that I'm collating, this will be of benefit to the entire ummah. So rather let me give preference to this year. I won't read the tahajjud. I rather continue with this work that I'm doing. Like this, the whole night passed, and alhamdulillah, at the time of Fajr, there was no need for me to make wudu. I spent the entire night in wudu and I read my Fajr salah with the same wudu. So this is the barakat of halal rozi, halal income, And if we have this within our homes, then inshallah, definitely there will be a positive effect on our children. And remember, wherever you go in the world, whichever part of the world you go to, always be particular of what you eat. Find out. If you're not sure, you rather stick to things that you're 100% sure of. You know, definitely some vegetable or something, there's no contamination, you're going to eat that. Then you hunt, or other, you rather you carry your food with you and you go. Keep your food with you. You know you got your own food. You've taken your own stuff and you're going to eat it. You don't have to eat anything that is doubtful, anything that is of a haram nature. The second thing, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, وَعَمِلَ فِي sunnah. He practices on the sunnah. His life revolves around the sunnah. As believers, we are required to find out in every single facet of our lives what was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To such an extent, Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alaihi, he would advise his students that every movement, if you can do it in accordance to the sunnah, then do it in accordance to the sunnah. Even if it is something simple like scratching your head, but how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the brush, or how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the comb, how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied itr, whatever you can do in accordance to the sunnah. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say the sunnah is like the ark of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. In the time of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam built the ark. All those who mounted the ark, who jumped onto the ark, they got saved. So he said, man rakibaha Najah. Whoever rides, whoever travels on that, then he'll be safe. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرِقًا. And who turns away and he remains behind, then he will be drowned. So the sunnah is like that. The closer we get to the sunnah, the closer we get to salvation, the closer we become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَقْشِ قَدَمْ نَبِي كَ جَنَّتْ كَ رَاسْتَ. Allah سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. Everyone wants to go to Jannah. You have to follow the route to get to the destination. The route to Jannah is following in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do everything the way he did it. Every aspect of our lives, like our ibadat, we do it like that. We're not going to change the ibadat. Tomorrow someone comes with another idea and says, why are we reading two rakats, Jummah namaz? Let's add this. No, no, we're not going to add anything. How Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how are you going to read namaz? We read it like that. What the Sharia says. So every aspect of our lives, whether it be our functions, whether it be our nikahs, how far we have swayed away from the sunnah. When it comes to our functions, how far we have moved away from simplicity. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-badadatu min al-iman, simplicity is part of iman. And look at what happens in our functions now. Look at the amount of extravagance. How much of money is being wasted. Before the nikah, how many different functions we are having. And the actual sunnah itself, not much importance is given to that. The kitabs, normally they got an incident of one Nawab Sahab. Nawab Sahab, the very rich people in India. So they have grand style functions. So he had a grand style function for his child. And eventually when it comes for him to pay off all the bills, 1,000 rupees for this. That time now, 1,000 rupees was a lot of money. 1,000 rupees for this, and 1,000 rupees for the meals, and 1,000 rupees for the people, the band, the people who are singing. Everything is paying the money. Eventually that Molana who came to perform that nikah, those days and times sometimes that ulama, they did not have much resources. So the man maybe incurred a small cost in coming, 5 rupees or something, he had to take a taxi or rickshaw or something and come to the function. So his was 5 rupees. So everything he paid out, the 5 rupees he started complaining. Why 5 rupees? Why is that so expensive? So that's our condition. For everything else, the actual sunnah itself, the actual thing that the Sharia wants us to do, that is the thing that we will shirk when it comes to that. We will not do it in a manner we're supposed to do. Or we complain about that. But everything else, all the other thrills and frills, and everything else we're prepared to pay money for. We're prepared. How much of time gets wasted?
This function, you know how much of time people waste? How many fights happen in families? Daughter wants one team. Mother wants another team. Granny wants another team. Big fight. The father sees the bills. He can't take it anymore. How much more you're going to spend? That supposed to be a happy home. Nikah is supposed to be happening in that home. Fights are happening. People are getting angry. And people are getting frustrated. People are crying. Why? Because why did we have to do all this here? The Shariat made it so easy, like two rakats namaz. How difficult it is to perform two rakats namaz? That nikah could have been performed like two rakats namaz. 5 minutes it could have been over. Simple walima. East Bengal Beach we had seen. We didn't see this here anywhere else. Those days when we were studying in the time of Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali. May Allah give us tawfiq to practice on this and revive these things. After namaz, Fajr namaz or something, no announcement, no boards, no invitation, nothing. After the namaz, brothers in the back of the masjid, there's a walima taking place. What they're serving? Few dates. If you're lucky, maybe we'll get some samosas, some milkshake, some water, some juice. Walima. 50 people, 100 people in the back of the masjid, just put down some savories, put down some dates, put a little bit milkshake. How much is it going to cost? Couple hundred rand. And yeah, millions of rands. And that will have more barakat also. Remember, that type of a walima, there'll be more barakat. There'll be more happiness. Inshallah, there's a greater chance that that nikah will last. And that nikah will bring about a good outcome. There'll be pious children that will be born from that nikah. So we moved away so far from the sunnah. Look at the janazas. The man's father passed away. His mother passed away. His wife passed away. His child passed away. Before he's phoning burial services, he first got to phone the caterers. We have to feed the people. What people will say? Our whole lives revolve around this year. What people will say? That's the only thing we worried about. What you worried about? What people will say? Let them say what they want to say. Worry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah must be pleased with me. Now what was the sunnah? The sunnah was that those people, the people who have lost their immediate family member, the outsiders, the neighbors, people around them were supposed to bring food for them. Isna'u li'ali Ja'farin ta'aman. Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, he was martyred in Muta. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, prepare food for his family. Because they in no condition now that they're going to worry about food. They're not going to worry about food for themselves. So you bring the food, you prepare the food, you give them the food to eat. You feed them. But now it's the other way around. Those people must feed us. We're going for the janaza. What he got on the menu? Hey, this person here didn't put anything too interesting. Trying to save money. Just put something basic. So this is unfortunately the result of us moving away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa amila fi sunnah." Practice on the sunnah. External sunnahs. Internal sunnahs. Not only external. Now we only worry about external. What about the internal sunnah? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had hatred. He never had malice in his heart towards anyone. No malice. No hatred. What we say, hey, I hate this person. I can't stand this person. Why are you hating people? Why you can't stand people? Who told you to have that in your heart? Even if something happened, forget about it. Move on in life. What that hatred is going to do? What you going to achieve with the hatred? You're going to suffer more with that hatred in your heart. That malice in your heart is going to make you more frustrated. It's going to make your life uncomfortable. Forget about it. Move on. You feel you can't get along with the person. You keep your distance from him. You meet him. Assalamu alaikum. You don't need to get very close to anyone. But that's also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never had malice in his heart. He never had hatred in his heart. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's entire life, he never got involved in futile activities. He never got involved in arguments where you're arguing with people and fighting with people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never had any type of arrogance. He was always humble. He had humility in him. He was simple. He was down to earth. All these different sunnahs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at the sunnah of the miswak. What a powerful sunnah. Miswak got so many benefits. One of the greatest benefits of the miswak is Tathkiru shahadatain in the maut. When you're dying, through the barakat of miswak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the kalima to come on your topi, to come on your tongue. Look at the sunnah of the topi. The topi is a sunnat. This is leaving our lives. Ulama have mentioned, one is a person is maybe coming on a journey, or you forgot or something, that he came to the masjid without a topi. But otherwise, if a person is looking down at the topi and is not showing significance to it, he feels it's not important, then he reads salah without the topi, salah is becoming makruh. Such a great ibadat, salah. So some of our akabir, they were so particular about the topi. Hazrat Imam Masrullah rahmatullah Ali, he sleep with the topi also too. Whole day he got the topi on, whole night he got the topi. I'm not saying this is a shari'i masna, but I'm showing you what attachment they had to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anyone came to Hazrat Imam Masrullah rahmatullah Ali and he didn't have a topi, Hazrat asked him, brother, where's your topi? In a nice way, you will tell him, try to wear a topi. This is our identity as Muslims. We're going to lose our identity as Muslims. The topi will go, one thing will go, another thing will go. Allah protect, doesn't be our iman goes away also after a little while. Because everything we're regarding it to be trivial. There's nothing we're attaching importance to. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, when he's passing away, the people that are around him, they're noticing. Every now and again, he's putting his topi on. He's reading kalima, he's making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he got his topi on his head, and he made sure he passed away with the topi on his head, because the topi is a crown of a believer. So all these different sunnahs, don't ever regard any sunnah to be trivial. Don't regard any sunnah to be insignificant. Gradually, slowly, one by one, the sunnahs of eating, the sunnahs of sleeping, the sunnahs of wuzu, of salah, every different aspect of our lives, we try to bring it in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The closer we come to the sunnah, the closer we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and barakah in this world and success in the year after. The third thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the first was man akala tayyiban, that person who eats pure wholesome food. The second thing, wa amila fi sunnah, he practices on the sunnah. And the third thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, wa amina nasu bawa'iqahu, people are safe from any taklif that he causes. Very particular of how you use your tongue, very particular of what you do, how you park your vehicle, who you are inconveniencing. It starts off from within your home, how you speak to people. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, in his final illness, in the last days of his life, among the things that he was stressing on, husne khuluq and husne kalam, good character and good speech. So you must be very particular, always practicing everything you're doing, good character. What was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Read the books of seerah, study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to bring that character within our lives. We need to try to come closer to the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that we become arrogant and we become a menace to people. No, we need to become a means of solace for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be a means of ease for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to become an asset to the community. So husne kalam, good speech. Be very particular of how you speak, what you say, what words you use, which tone you say it in. Because the speech of yours is a very, very important aspect of your deen. Very, very important. This is what can make you and what can break you. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who got these three things, he eats halal and he practices on the sunnah, and people are safe from any taklif that he can cause, dakhal al jannah, that person will go to Jannah. May Allah grant us a true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana.